We'd just like to let you know that this episode of the Stoneface Films podcast is brought to you by Loot Crate. Loot Crate is the monthly mystery crate for pop culture fans filled with incredible and exclusive items and apparel from your favorite TV shows, movies, games, and more. Over $45 value in every crate. This month's theme, February's theme, is Build. Roll up your sleeves and get ready to build. Celebrate some of pop culture's most put-together franchises with this hands-on theme. It includes some great stuff from Batman, Power Rangers, Lego Dimensions, and Tetris. We are huge fans of Loot Crate over at the Stoneface Films podcast, and we highly recommend that you go over to lootcrate.com/stoneface, and when you choose to purchase, and we highly recommend that you do, use promo code BADLADS to let Loot Crate know that we sent you and that you're our friends. Thank you very much for listening. Enjoy the show.
I watched that
load. The stakes were high.
You watched the beheading of Saddam Hussein multiple times.
It's the as of yet untitled Stoneface Production Committee Hour podcast, maybe longer than an hour.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Stoneface Films podcast. My name is John Hosey, your brand creative director at Stoneface Films, and with me, as always, the co-host. He almost couldn't be here today because he was falling off the edge of Rainbow Bridge. It's Mr. David Riley.
Goodbye. Hello. Goodbye.
I was my mess up as well because I was meant to say Rainbow Road. I said Rainbow Bridge, which is a Jimi Hendrix album.
And Rainbow Road is the Mario level.
Yeah, I got it mixed up. But hey, or. The yoke that Heimdall guards in Thor would have been acceptable. Anyway, listen, we're coming in.
Falling off is always a goodbye, so that's just what threw me. Yeah,
this is it. Also with us today, and we're delighted to have him, the engineer of Sentinel Audio Productions, Dilbert. I couldn't remember any engineer. Have we done Dilbert before? We must have. It would be crazy if
I think
we
mentioned it, but I don't think we've used it.
Well, there you go, Dilbert. Rob O'Sullivan, the engineer of Sentinel Audio. How are you doing, Rob?
Yeah, I'm good. What kind of engineer is Dilbert? I don't remember Dilbert. I just remembered he was a dickhead.
Nah, Dilbert's great.
Was his dog the dickhead?
Dogbert.
Dogbert was great. Intent on world domination.
Yeah, that'd be it.
He gave me ideas as a youth. Honestly. I really enjoyed Dilbert. I tell you what, though. Did you see Scott Adams, who I believe is the creator of Dilbert? Whoever, I think I'm right in saying Scott Adams is the name of the gentleman, but certainly the creator of Dilbert. Did you see the whole time throughout the presidential campaign, he was on like Fox and he was on all these things, and he was basically saying, you guys, you don't understand, Trump is going to win. Like, everyone isn't as freaked out as they should be because Trump's going to win this. Like, from way back, from like the primaries.
And
everyone was like, you're a crazy person. And then there we go, creator
because
of Dilbert.
Nate Silver was there. It's like, oh, he can't win. I've got the numbers.
There you go. Well,
like,
sure.
But he wasn't that sort of cocky. He's going to win it, guys. It was like, guys.
Yeah. But who's
down the hatches?
Nate Silver is Ron Swanson's musical alter ego, right?
That's Duke Silver.
Okay.
Nate Silver is like a political scientist.
Yeah, your man behind the 538 thing. There you go. Yeah. Anyway, listen, also... also with us today, and we are delighted to have her, Anna Romstead.
Close. Rongstead.
Wrong.
Wrong, with a G.
I am so sorry. I do apologize. I'll take it again.
My name is like this solely to fuck people up.
I tell you what, we'll leave it. This is good crack. Anna, how are you doing?
Good, yeah.
Anna.
Fucking sounds
fucking
close
all
enough.
Over the place here, lads.
Onomatopoeia.
Yeah, that's what we call you.
That's my name.
Yeah. It's interesting because your name sounds like you are.
Does
that's yeah.
I don't know what that would be.
Onomatopoeic.
But I would then have to sound like Anna.
Yeah, and you do. When I hear you, I certainly think that's right. Anna talking.
Circular logic, but that's fine.
Yeah. Also with us today, and we're delighted to have him. He's a podcaster. He's an actor. He's a writer. You know him from his upcoming podcast with Head Stuff, which is called
Personality Bingo with Tom Moran.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. The hint is in the name. It's Tom Moran.
Yeah, thank you.
He's a rake.
Does that still work in the...
He's a rake.
Oh, 2 days later.
Yeah.
See, we recorded all at one time, so there's oftentimes there'll be callbacks to things that people may not remember, may not have listened to the first episode. Or it's just stupid
That's
bullshit.
On them.
Yeah. Listen, we hope people enjoy our liquid nonsense. Anyway, Tom, how you doing?
Yeah, great.
How's life? How was the break?
It was good. I peed twice.
That is the best. How was your break we've ever gotten? I peed twice.
Yeah.
Holy hell.
People should know.
Do you know what? Because you went off to have a pee, and then I went and I had a cigarette, and then I went to the bathroom. And you came in, I was like, that lad's peeing twice. Yeah. Yeah. And I was never going to bring it up in a million years. I like how forthright you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fair play. Mm. Any reason?
I think I was telling you about this, my 8 liters of water a day thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
8 liters.
Yeah.
You are hydrated to
trying
fuck,
to do
lad.
8 liters. So I've done 4 so far today, but I can't really do it now when we're like doing this because I'd be in and out the whole time. But I'll try and make it quick because it's basically I have a friend who drums on with Katy Perry.
Oh, cool.
And they go on tour all the time, and she has a life coach that she brings on tour.
Right.
And I would, And I was just asking him, like, I was like, all right, give me one little life hack, one little. So, and the whole staff have access to the life coach. So I was like, give me one little nugget that you've pulled from this life coach. And he said, no matter what problem I bring, can be about my marriage, like creatively, like drumming, whatever it might be. It's always like, are you drinking 8 liters of water a day? Because this life coach says that is the key to everything, like physical, like. Optimization, like intellectually, creatively, all of that. So I was like, that's mad, like 8 liters. People think like 8 glasses, and he was like, no, 8 liters. So what he does is he has a 2 liter bottle, and he drinks 4 of them naturally enough. And I was like, right, well, I'll give it a go. And I did it earlier last year, and then you can't do it if you're like working certain
you don't
jobs.
Want to drown in your own lungs.
Yeah, but you actually do feel great doing it. So I've done about 4. No, I might have done 5 today. So,
Jesus.
But yeah, it means a lot of trips to the bathroom. An awful lot.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
And do you find that it has any specific? Any specific? Do you notice a change in your well-being?
I mean, you notice the obvious stuff like skiing and all that
like
kind of
pissing.
Stuff.
Pissing.
Yeah,
pissing.
Yeah. The obvious stuff. Like.
I will say, and this isn't something that I would normally bring up with a guest, but I feel like you've let us into it. Sure. You walked in, one of my first thoughts was, that fucker's got great skin.
Really?
Some dynamite skin on that lad.
Do you know, I used to get...
You could peel that into a cape.
Oh, think of the lampshades we could make out of that.
I swear to God. Be gorgeous. You get compliments all day.
I've never heard that before.
Really? No one's ever offered to skin you into a cape?
No.
You've been going to the wrong parties, my friend.
In TY, in school, we had a skin specialist. Or like I don't know what they were, but they
And I'd never notice a person's skin in a million years.
Yeah.
I was like, that lad, that's alabaster.
Wow.
There you go.
Well, I mean, so we brought a skin, I don't know, it was...
Shaman. Yeah, skin shaman. Yeah,
skin shaman into school, and they came in and they were just talking about, like, you know, maintaining your skin because everyone had like acne and stuff at skin. But like, I was really lucky that I didn't have bad skin in school. But she picked me out in the middle of the class. She was just talking about like skin, and in the middle of a class, and it was one of those like lecture tiered classrooms. We only had one of them. It was room number 28 in the school. Just a detail.
She looks out into the sea of faces.
We had one. I'm trying to remember what ours was, but yeah.
Yeah. There was just the one, and I had the projector. It was very fancy, and she just like. She just pointed and she goes, you have great skin. And from that moment on, I was bullied about having great skin.
They'll find out, won't they?
No, it was in a mixed school.
Oh, you wouldn't expect that.
Yeah.
Oh, man, no. I think it can be worse in mixed schools because you've got people to impress.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
I think
so,
that's
like,
it.
The whole alpha male-y bullshit of it all
has
a strident sexual purpose.
Yeah.
You know? So, bully.
That said, I never went to a single school, so I have no grounds for comparison. Yeah.
You didn't go to school?
I never went to school, no. Wholly self-taught.
Well.
Yeah.
It's just been conning your way through the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah.
Right up to PhD level.
Yeah. Good trick for the listeners out there. You can't con a PhD. They'll catch you out at the PhD.
That's the point.
Yeah.
You can get as far as master's.
You can get a master's, no problem.
Yeah. That's you printing money in Germany. That's when Tom Hanks finds
you. Yeah. No, exactly. Christmas Day, I don't know. The Elton eggs coming in. Like, we talk each year at Christmas because I've no one else. Anyway, there you go. It's a good lesson. Lesson well learned.
Speaking of skin, this is a thing that. Have you done any videos with Aisling? Aisling Bogle?
Yes.
She did stand up for the first time like 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
And was
so funny. We're super, super funny. Ashing Bugle is a fax contributor. Okay. But we were having coffee the other day, and she was telling me about a thing her friend was going to get done that evening, where you text somebody, and then they reply with a location, because they can't advertise where they are. And the location changes all of the time. So you know it's a legit service.
Trustworthy.
When it's on wheels. And you get between 4 and 7 marks, or like pinprick burns, into your skin. And then you get the poison of the leaf frog tapped into these burn wounds. And then you just vomit and shit for 45 minutes. And then 3 months of hyper-tuned clarity.
That sounds like bollocks.
But it's a thing they did it, because I was talking to Donna about this yesterday, and she was like, oh, I remember they did it in An Idiot Abroad.
What?
They did it in An Idiot Abroad. It's a thing hunters used to do. They'd like purge themselves of all right. toxins. And then they'd be like...
I did that last night, but that was only because my dad made spaghetti bolognese. It was not a joke. I was up at 4 a.m, absolutely bent over, like, ruined.
I know you're ready to hunt.
I heard you coming. I swear to God. Look at them music videos. It's coming for you.
But yeah, like, it's... I'm really intrigued by it. So she says she's going to get it done next month.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the fact that they've no fixed location,
yeah,
and that they travel around and communicate only via text
and stab you with needles.
£60 though.
I think this is a dreadful idea.
It does sound terrible, doesn't it?
So how really, you get hepatitis really C? Bad idea.
Like you'd imagine, oh, I'll get it done.
Get wiped from the hep frog.
But like do it with the tribes who originated this thing, rather than some lad who sells tie-dyed hemp tote bags at Knock and Stocking, and then for the rest of the year he is just poisoning people with leaf frog. Where do you even get leaf frog poison
in this country?
Leaf frogs.
Yeah, you can barely get regular frogs.
Exactly.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
I thought you were about to say you can barely get regular poison
for all of your poison needs.
Do you know where would you even go to get poison?
Well, you can
rat
make it.
Bit of poison bleach.
Yeah, rat poison, that'll do.
Bleach?
Mm. Bit of bleach. Don't know, I mean, yeah, listen, let's move away from ways to poison people. Should we take a question from the listener?
I was about to Google tree frog poison, but yeah, let's do that instead. Let's put an end to...
That was a topic I was really comfortable on. Poison.
What are your opinions on poison, Anna?
Oh, well, I have an herb garden, which...
Am I right?
Sorry?
Oh.
You forget, there's a letter.
Sorry?
What?
What?
A what?
An herb garden?
No.
An herb garden?
I don't know.
It's nearly there.
You're so close.
Herb sounds like a weird uncle.
Yeah. Herb. What's it? Like an orb? You mispronouncing orb.
I know how to grow a plant. Just at least one. I know how to grow at least one plant. And with that plant, I can fucking kill all you lads, so.
Ooh. Where does it grow?
In the ground.
What?
You're just talking about, like, shamrocks.
I'm just.
They're poisonous.
They're poisonous. Yeah, yeah. No. Mistletoe.
No,
poisonous.
Mistletoe. I have a garden. Rakes
tomatoes,
and stuff.
Tomatoes. If you eat the bit that isn't a tomato, isn't that poisonous?
No, I'll give you diarrhea.
Apple seeds. All
right.
Apple seeds.
Some of them peppers
arsenic.
Is a bit dodgy, isn't it?
I'd say so.
Pepper seeds. I think you have to be careful with.
Rhubarb leaves.
They're poisonous. All right.
I'll get you.
Either way, I think you'd need some quantity. You need to be slipping a whole bushel of rhubarb leaves.
We don't just like
it's not
feed a
subtle
person
killing.
A leaf.
Like that's not how Litvinenko went out. They weren't mixing rhubarb bleeds.
Plutonian rhubarb.
Yeah.
Jesus. Oh,
Plutonian Christ. Rhubarb. That was Zappa's backing band, wasn't it?
Yeah, I love that. One of the mothers of invention. Oh dear. What were we talking about, lads?
David needs to get a question.
Luke, that was me killing time. Luke Bruton asks,
"You'll be left back."
You have to choose one person to design your wardrobe for the next 5 years. Who do you pick?
Kevin Smith.
Jorts and long coats.
Yeah, let's get some jorts going on. No, do you know why? He does those custom hockey jerseys.
Oh, yeah.
He has loads and loads of, like, personalized. He gets them all made for himself, custom made. I'd love an old wardrobe full of customized hockey jerseys. Mm. All tailored to my specific, what he thinks my specific taste would be. I'd be like, here, Kevin, imagine you were making hockey jerseys for you before he sold out. Yeah, for you before he got rich. I love Kevin Smith. I'm only taking him down. But also, I feel like it wouldn't be, it's been more than a few times has someone raised the family resemblance. There you go.
I'm going to say Doyler.
Doyler. She does a good job.
I would have absolute faith in her.
Yeah, she would as well.
Who have you in mind?
I don't know. I was for a moment I was thinking Chris Martin.
Chris Martin of Coldplay.
Yeah.
But then, you want a whole wardrobe of beige. Different shades of beige as far as the eye can see.
I think I'd revoke. I think you would have to be
a bunch of Joe Satriani's t-shirts that he's stolen out the bin.
And just written Coldplay on.
I don't know. Gosh. Do you know who dresses very well? You mentioned earlier on that Laura Byrne dresses particularly well.
Laura Byrne dresses well.
And I think a woman would be better at dressing me. I don't. No men that I know style particularly jumps out at me. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So I think I might put my faith in a lady friend.
Yeah.
I don't know Laura well enough to ask her to do that, but...
It's a commitment as well, isn't it? 5 years.
That's a lot of clothing, yeah.
Yeah,
that's true.
I mean, you could get it all in one go.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have to be incremental over those 5 years.
You have to pick someone very healthy as well.
Why?
I'm not picking Attenborough.
Survive for five years.
Like you couldn't pick Mickey D. Like if they passed away, then you'd be stuck in like 2017 clothes, and it would be like 2021, and you'd be
Morto.
You'd be
I am easily still wearing clothes that I was wearing like 15 years ago.
And that's
easily.
Why you need someone to design your wardrobe for you.
How dare you? I am styling to the max.
Styling, profiling, limousine riding, kiss
and
stealing,
shot calling.
All of the things that Ric Flair is.
Sounded like George Fox there for a moment.
What?
George Fox has a tendency to repeatedly say, oh, and no, Damon Blake is repeatedly to say a baller and a shot caller. I've just heard him say that about 1,000 times.
I like that.
Yeah. Anyway. It's nothing against the man. He just says that a lot.
It's an observation,
I mean? It's an observation. Anyway. Jesus. So Tom, tell us about yourself. We still don't know a lot about Tom Warren. Who is Tom Warren? And not the Tom Warren I went to school with, because he sails.
Did you go to school with Tom Warren?
I went to school. I'm very good friends with a Tom Warren. And his lovely bride-to-be, Kiva, who shout out to them if they're listening.
Yeah.
Very nice people.
Okay. It's a weird name, actually. When I heard you say about someone else, when you were talking to me, it was different. But it's a weird name. Whenever I introduce myself, it's like... Way, like if you have to use your first and second name, I always it feels weird in my mouth. Like right. I'm Tom Warren. Like I say weird Warren.
Is it because the M and the M run into each other?
I think so. Yeah.
So that way, yeah.
Yeah.
But that is, do you know what? I get that as well because Donna said the other day, "I love you, John." Right, and I was like, "That's fucking weird. You never say my name following that." It's like places are you're immediately confronted with your own subjectivity as an individual.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I whenever anyone, even in a text, if someone uses my name at the beginning of it, I freak out. I just assume like I'm in trouble. It's like, Tom.
I know what you mean.
Do you know, you just, like, it's very, it's something like confrontational about it almost.
Yeah.
Sometimes I will like start a message, I'm like, no, I need to take their name out of that. I mentioned their name way too early in that message.
Yeah.
You wouldn't do a hey.
No, but hey, that's Tom. What I mean. Yeah, but like, or hey, man. Yeah, but even sometimes
hey
if
man
I go,
hey man is fine, but like, hey Tom man. Is a different kettle of fish.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's just Tom, comma.
Oh,
then you're fucked.
No, you're fired. That's P45 message. Yeah. Tom could just come in here a second. Oh, no, I'm just gonna leave.
Yeah, I get it. But you asked. I don't know why. Do you have a? Give me a particular question. Give me an aspect of my life you'd like me to.
Well, you're a writer and an actor.
Yeah.
What? Let's hear some of your. What are you working on right now? What are you writing?
Right now,
if anything, and that's nothing.
Yeah, I spent the morning writing. I'm writing. I want to write. I've many written plays.
Cool.
But I want to write a web series. So I'm working on that now, and it's called Fix Me, and it's going to be just a two-hander thing. Kind of like
I
writing.
Love that the industry speak.
Yeah.
A pro already, it's two handed.
Two people.
It means there's two people in the show, everybody.
Four hands, strangely enough. Unless
it.
We go to weird casting choice.
I love it.
Send an amputee's hospital.
So
just call it two handed. There's two people in it, and each of them only has one hand.
Yeah,
perfect. Oh, yeah. Great.
True. Yeah.
Or one has no hands.
Yeah, and it could fix me. Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
And oh then then it's then you've got the Coldplay music going in leading into it. It's ready to go.
Absolutely,
it's ready for TV.
Print.
Three.
Yeah.
Ah. I'm only messing. I'm not detracting in any way. Please tell us about.
No, feel free. It's I'm trying to write that at the moment, but it's weird. Like it's very, it's one of those things. It's not coming easy to me.
Right.
Sometimes stuff like just like will like flow out and you'll write it. Like you could write for have like a first draft done in ages, and I'm on a second draft now, and it's kind of a struggle, but I really want to write a web series.
Second drafts are the killer, like.
Yeah,
second drafts are the tough one.
Like, I love writing for theatre, but it's too temporary, do you know what I mean? It really is, especially in town. It's so expensive to put something up I had a play called The Belly Button Girl on it in the middle of last year, which was like a one-man play. I'm thinking about bringing that to Edinburgh this year.
Is that the one you did? You were telling me about it before. Is that one?
Probably, yeah. We met just a couple of weeks before, I think, because it was... We met on a fact shoot, and I remember mentioning it. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So, so
giving you my card there.
Oh, lovely.
You go around, you need a production company.
Oh, absolutely.
Holler at your boy.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, writing that at the moment. But, yeah, I do a lot of, like... acting stuff. Like, I was just finishing the panto.
That's great. Who are you playing in the panto?
I was playing Aladdin.
Fair play to you, man. Yeah. That's great.
So it's weird, like... I
goddamn natural leading man here.
Yeah, yeah, with that skin. Yeah,
that skin beaming out like a bowl of cream.
Yeah. Well, I was wearing lots of
it
fake tan.
It was a lot of tan, yeah.
Yeah, Davey's seen... I post a little picture post fake tan.
Was this in the Gaiety?
This was the Helix.
The Helix one? Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah, so we did like 3 months. We did like 90-odd shows of it.
It's the second panto guest we've had on. Tom the Bear Mahoney was...
The old the Dame, Limerick. Was he?
He was one of the... Dum-dum characters in the Limerick Panto.
Right. With Carl Spain, who was on the 100th.
Oh, yeah.
He was on the 100th.
So, yeah, you had 90 shows.
Yeah.
Fuck.
So, yeah, it was a lot. And, like, it's one of those things. It was really fun, but it's not like... It was one of those... I really enjoyed it. I can't emphasize that enough, but, like, that's like a job. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Then you do all the other stuff, like, creatively, which is far more fulfilling and, like, long-term what you'd want to be doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's
the rent pay, right? Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And it was brilliant. And
plus, also, in this country, like, it has a... Pantos have a real cultural resonance. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like,
they're a huge touchstone of...
Yeah, my first time in the theatre was at
same.
Panto.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There are a huge amount of people's first time in the theatre, I imagine, yeah.
And it was actually, like, one that I could stand over. It was, like, good. Do you know what I mean? It was actually, like, the script is really good, and it wasn't too much of the kind of stuff that you might, like, roll your eyeballs at. It was actually, like, a good script and really good people, so it was great.
Did you have the old kiss with Jasmine at the end?
Yeah, only one very brief one. Like, there was nothing to it. Do you know what I mean?
There's nothing. No LSPG, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
You can't be slipping didge in the After Dark production of Aladdin. Like.
No, yeah, absolutely not. We were...
She's got a tiger there. He's looking after you. You don't want to slip didges. I had a friend, actually, who played the Beast in the Beauty and the Beast, and I went and saw it with his girlfriend. She was raging at the kiss.
Really?
Oh, yeah?
She was holding
mental
it all
passionate,
in.
Was it?
Well, like,
or just that it was a thing.
It was just her boyfriend's up there kissing some Bjorn.
Yeah.
Like,
for coin.
For coin. For booty. I don't know if you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend similar, Tom.
No.
But yeah, no, that's, I mean, hey.
That's a part of it. Yeah, you gotta. It's a weird thing. I had a friend like that as well. And I mean,
it's a kiss and a panto. Like, it's. Yeah. It's not a Dog Me 95 sex scene. Like, you know what I mean?
True. Yeah. That'd be different.
It's not Last Tango.
It's not Last Tango Paris. It is not.
You know, but I had a little. It was a little peck, right at the end.
Peck.
Yeah,
little Gregory.
Yeah,
a little rake.
A little rake. Yeah,
From the rakest.
Yeah, from the rakest.
So, how did 90 shows work? Was that 3 months, or was there some double duty days?
Yeah, a lot. No, a lot of them. 2 shows most days.
Fuck. Okay.
Yeah. It was probably. Yeah, I think it was 11 weeks, including the rehearsals.
And was it? Very much a bus full of school kids from up the country.
In the morning, so it was weird. It would work different ways. So you'd have an 11 a.m. show some days, and then you'd be free from like 1:30 to about 6:30, and then you go back in for a 7 o'clock show. So that was kind of the middle of the week, and then at the weekends, it was a 2 and a 6 on a Saturday, and a 1 and a 5 on a Sunday.
So there was less of a gap.
Yeah, like some of the kids' shows would be like, you know, completely different, because a lot of this stuff would go over their head. So like, you're kind of just zipping through stuff. But the adult shows, like, there's some, you kind of slip in those jokes, like a good Shrek movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That no one else is going to get. So,
right.
Yeah.
It's about slipping didge.
Slipping loads of things, really. Yeah. So, that was great. Lots of messing goes on stage, though, in panto.
So.
Lots of messing. Like, lots of trying to make people corpse and stuff. Like, there's one bit where, like, it's going around, like, looking for the lamp, and it's all the boys and girls, like, oh, it's behind you, all this kind of stuff. It's weird when you call the kids, like, the boys and girls, but, like, that's such a panto thing.
Yeah.
And,
where's the lamp, boys and girls?
Yeah, loads of lamp jokes, absolutely. And you'd be looking, like, you'd look off, like, to the side stage, like, looking to see, like, where is it? And, like, the cast would be, like, just, like, showing all sorts, like, showing boobs, showing bums, like, in weird sexual positions.
Nice.
We had a Pikachu doll in the show, and he was subjected to awful stuff in the wings. Like, it was... absolute debauchery, but kind of that's how you get through 90 shows of Aladdin.
I was gonna say, you're not gonna be able to do 90 shows without, like, the monotony. You're gonna have to break that up somehow.
Yeah, absolutely. I know, anybody, it
sounds good crack, though.
Yeah, it was very fun.
Go for it. Hello, guys, just want to have a little chat with you real quick about the brilliant work of those
cool dudes over at Loot Crate.
Loot Crate.
Loot Crate is a subscription service that every month delivers you a box of goodies, guaranteed to be worth at least
$45 value in every crate.
But will only cost you
just under €24 a month.
Perfect.
Figures, t-shirts, home goods, and more. Treat yourself every month or give the gift of geeking out to a friend or a loved one. You can cancel your subscription anytime or feel free to skip a month and start back up later. It is a truly, truly excellent service. We take advantage of Loot Crate every month and have for a long time since before we even started the motherfucking podcast.
Early days, Loot Crate people.
February's theme is build. Roll up your sleeves and get ready to build. Celebrate a pop culture's most put-together franchises with its hands-on theme. Includes the likes of Batman, your favorite David, Power Rangers,
sweet,
Lego Dimensions, and Donna Doyle's favorite, Tetris. I highly, highly recommend this product. David, do you highly recommend this product?
I already have the Tetris theme song stuck in my head. It's a Tetris. And my brother Luigi.
Remember that each of the loot crates that you can get are only available for the month. If you miss the sign up date, it's gone and it'll never come back.
The 19th of the month is the
usually, certainly. Yeah. I would jump on it immediately if you can. This is one of my favorite things in the world. Please check it out. And when you do, why not go to lootcrate.com/stoneface? Let them know that the boys in Dublin sent you. When you choose to buy, use the promo code BADLADS.
BADLADS.
Get a couple of dollars off. Let them know you're repping the boys in Dublin.
Thanks.
Speaking of door-to-door sales, once upon a time, I was a door-to-door bee salesperson.
You sold bees?
Bees. Okay, so what happened?
If we cut out that last bit, which I hope we do now, then it'll just be you going straight into...
Just got Tom going from being Aladdin to, funnily enough.
If that has happened, listener, it's because we cut out a story that I couldn't say on the air.
It's one of the most exciting parts of my life.
Go for it.
So I was working for, I phrase it that way because it makes it way more exciting. I was working for...
Therefore, this will be a letdown.
Yeah. Sorry, everyone. I was working for the League of Conservation Voters, and we were basically going around, like...
The LOC.
Our generations save the whales. Mm-hmm. But I like to explain it to people. Like, I'm selling you bees, in a way. You give me money now. Mm-hmm. I'll take your money, please. And through a process that neither of us fully understand, there are going to be more bees. So, essentially,
right,
you're buying bees from me.
So plus buying magazine subscriptions that you'll never get. Like,
I like... Well, no. Bees. No. Hopefully there will be more bees. But I like to phrase it that way because it's like going around suitcase full of bees, opening it on unsuspecting moms.
Jacket.
Would you like to buy some bees?
Bee delivery. Putting them to the letterbox.
Confessions of the bee lady. You're going, when I'm cleaning windows. I wrote a play actually about my experiences as a salesman.
Yeah.
And it was going to get made, and then it didn't because it was shite.
Ah, yes, that's a problem.
Listen, it happens.
I worked as a telemarketer in America. I lived in Chicago for a year.
Oh, cool.
And I worked in this. I was in school over there in college, and I went to stay on for the summer. I needed, you know, pay the bills, and was working in a theater, but on their phone. So how it works in America is rather than buying like tickets to whatever play you want to see, you buy subscriptions for the year. So it was it was like five plays, I think, for one person was for $350. And then for two, no, that's too much. It was
bollocks.
Yeah, it was something like that. But it
wasn't going to be some play like
nothing but painters.
Yeah, yeah. But it was something like that. It was like, it was honestly.
You want to see all the flashing that goes along the wings.
What was it? I can't believe I can't remember it. I think it was a lot of money for two people to go to see five plays. It was something like, it was around £700. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and one day we were on the phones and we did the whole spiel, and it was all that. We had like scripts almost, but when you got better, you could kind of go off script and like improvise with the caller. But I always use the Irish card straight off the bat, so I'd be like, you know, like, hey, Miss Smith, this is Tom Moore and Colin from the Chicago Shakespeare Theatre. How you doing today? And whatever. And whatever they'd say, you'd just come back with like, you know what? Well, I'm doing great, but I got to be honest with you. You know, I'm from Ireland. We're not used to this kind of weather. So I got to say, like, I'm really sweating in here. So you're going to have to help me out through this call. But anyway, Miss Smith, we've got some really awesome plays on this season. And you go in that
natural
way. Absolutely.
I want to buy. I'm already thinking what money I have.
Yeah. So it was an amazing, it was really cool. Like, it was actually, I actually really enjoyed the job. But one day, was chatting to this guy, and it was Friday, and it was like late in the day, and your man was, I pitched the whole thing, and he was dead on to buy five plays for him and this woman that he was seeing. And I was like, amazing. Well, look, if you, this was our phrase, if you have your favorite credit card there, just like, very American in that way. It was great. I loved it. And he was like, you know what? I don't know my cards. I mean, right now. But if you do me a favor and call me back on Monday, that'd be amazing. And we'll do it all over the phone. And I was like, great. So we had a list. So I wrote his name down, wrote down the number, and wrote down what he wanted. So, and that was fine. I put that away in a folder. Come Monday, I take it out and see this guy's name. I'm like, great, this is like a definite sale. So I ring him back up, and let's just say it's John. I go, hey John, this is Tom. Just picking up from our conversation where you wanted to take yourself and your lovely lady to the theater for 10 plays. So if you have your favorite card there, let's do it. And this guy was like, sorry. I was like, I'm just following up on our call when I rang this number about the plays. And he was like, no, I think you have a wrong number. And I was like, no, this is definitely it. We spoke at, and I was like, 4:38 on Friday. And he was like, no, I've been away all weekend. I was like, oh, I'm pretty sure we had a conversation at 4:38 where you said that you wanted to take yourself and your girlfriend to see, and I listed off the plays. And he was like, but I've literally been out of the country for the last week. And he was like, did you say, and he was like, so there was somebody here on the phone. I was like, yeah, we discussed taking the missus to see these 10 plays, and the wheels are just spinning in his head, and I'm kind of like, oh no. So he basically just uncovered the fact that his wife had someone else in the house who had picked up the phone. And like, I think your man must have come home early or something, but whatever messing was going on, that basically there was some dude in the house with this guy's wife when he wasn't meant to be there. Your man had absolutely no idea, and I just uncovered the whole thing accidentally.
Holy
over
fuck.
The phone. Whoa. Yeah, and like, so he was like, he was kind of like, I have to go. So I was like, okay. And like, we never let the calls go, like, ever. It was like the rule, you just don't let them hang up easy. And like, but I was like, to my manager, I hung up the phone and I was like, okay, what happens when you break up a marriage? Like, where is that in the guidebook? Because yeah, and like, it was Jesus 100% Christ. That like, that's what happened. It
that's
was
a top-notch Jesus story right there, lads.
That was a great one.
That's some top-shelf story there, Tom Moore.
Write a play about that.
Yeah.
God damn.
It was bonkers, but yeah, it was one of those. Yeah, you're right though. Like the whole like,
it's fantastic
sales stuff. It is a very
it's very peculiar. We had all these little tips and tricks and stuff, and then the successful people, because we'd all meet up before we went out. And they'd share some of the tips. So little things like, and I swear to God it was true, stuff like in the morning you go around wearing a baby blue tie.
And then what, red in the evening?
And then you'd change for your second route around for red tie in the evening. The reason being, and I know this sounds fucking
this
grotesque,
is great. I remember you telling me this years ago,
but,
yeah.
You'd wear a baby blue tie because when you went round in the mornings, it'd be largely women at home. And then when you came back later on that night, you'd go and, because they'd all be like, oh, I'll talk to my husbands or whatever. And you'd wear red to go back and talk and put yourself in a position of strength with the husband. Very odd, like little psychological stuff like wearing ladies' perfumes the first time around. And then when you went around again in the evening, you put on like a musk.
Whoa.
Real odd stuff. Like it was very, very pop psychology sort of stuff. But it was really out there.
When I did the charity mugging, in like I don't have that brain for sales at all. But it was like, you got a 5-day trial period and then you get sacked. And I did get sacked because I didn't sign anyone up. But I was like, it was a thing. I was getting so bored of it by the end of doing the script. I was like, hey, you want to save some kids' lives? And they'd walk by. I'm like, nah, me neither. Like, I was just really pushing, like...
You were good at that, though. The other night on the shoot on Saturday, you were very good at random.
I was good at stopping and talking to people. Yeah. But then it was the getting money out of them, because I was like, I'm pretty broke, guys. Yeah. I know everyone.
But you did a very good, we got like 100 releases signed on the shoot on Saturday night.
That was it. The stopping and chatting. That was why I was really good at the Ripley's job, because I could stop people like, hey, here's a discount. Mm-hmm. Rather than like, hey,
You're giving someone something as opposed to taking.
Yeah. So I can stop them, but then it's the hook.
This is it. Do you know what? There was the nicest thing. Did we talk about this on the show last week?
You weren't here.
Think we did. Oh yeah. Well then. Well, I certainly didn't. Anyway.
Yeah.
But the man Donna met, getting my gender pronouns all fucked up. But there was what Donna described as an old man. I don't know how he identifies, but a transgender I think man to woman.
I was there. Yeah.
Yeah. Who? So, do you want to tell this then?
No.
You were there. I was with Don. I didn't meet the man.
Right. Yeah. He sort of had a. He was an old. He was an old guy. Like 70s would not be an unfair guess.
I think Donna said 76.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he sort of had the look of. We were immediately suspicious because it was a night shoot, and we were trying to like keep a level of. We didn't want any hiccups, so we were sort of keeping an eye on potential, rusty cogs kind of thing that would just sort of slow things up. So we were sort of, he came over and I was like, oh, he's just probably going to be a bit off. Mm. It's very hard because Ireland has a lot of odd older people because mental health services didn't exist back then. So they just sort of were left to their own devices and it's really sad. Mm-hmm. So we just sort of thought it was one of these. There was a guy who was wearing a kilt and had like a shopping bag. And like a suit jacket.
Was it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was saying to Donna that he was up in Dublin from down the country and he was transgender.
And he'd just come out.
He'd just come out, yeah, at mid-70s. And he was on his way to the George for the first time and it would have been his first time in a gay bar.
Isn't that the most lovely thing you've ever heard in your life? I hope to God he got ridden out of it.
I hope he rode the hole off some young Brazilian twink.
I swear to God. Just time of his life.
Yeah.
I hope so. More power to him, man.
Absolutely. And like it was really sweet because it was like what you'd imagine if you had to ask an old rural Irish man like dress how a woman would dress.
Wear a kilt.
It's just like, a kilt and a fitted suit jacket, like it was
very sweet.
It was
man.
Very
shopping with them.
Yeah, like
God bless.
It
him.
Was. It was really like what's around the house.
Yeah,
you know.
I hope he didn't run into like a Connor Courtney, or like any of the.
Do you see the Leather Daddies walking by?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it was a few Leather Daddies walked by, and we were trying to get them into the video.
I hope they picked him up and took him with them.
See, this is the thing. It was the first international Leather Daddy convention.
In the George that night.
In Dublin that weekend.
Poor baby guy gets thrown in with the... He gets thrown in on hard mode.
Yeah,
like.
Exactly. European
when
extreme.
I'm talking about hard mode.
Yeah. Like, no tutorial level.
No tutorial.
Just limited ammo.
Like, just emperor difficulty.
Yeah.
God damn. God bless him. I hope he did well, man. I hope he did very, very well.
Mm.
Hope he enjoyed himself.
He just sort of wandered into the night. We're like, no, come back. We need your story.
He didn't sign a release or whatever. And I was raging because I was like, man, I want to be able to find this dude and make a documentary about him later. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
I bet his house would be so interesting.
Out of him just trying to pull, like.
Yeah.
That'd be great. If you don't mind, Annie, you feel free to, if you are not comfortable talking about this, we can cut this out from 100%. You're an LGBT lady.
Oh yeah, I'm hella gay.
You're hella gay.
I'm pansexual.
You're pansexual.
Yeah.
Okay, could you describe that for the listener, please?
So,
eyeball hands.
actually, no, just only kitchenware. Only kitchen.
Love a bit of Teflon.
Oof, love me some Teflon.
No, get some sticky like the non-stick
Spanish
coating
Spanish
of some
Civil
Teflon. Sorry.
So the way that I describe it is pansexuality is attraction to all genders.
Right.
Which is not... There's a bit of a question mark between pansexuality and bisexuality. Mm-hmm. So the distinction is that bisexuality would be attraction to... the same and other genders. So not necessarily that bisexuality may exclude some genders, but it's basically how the individual wishes to
it's
identify.
It's less binary.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, if you're hot, you can get it. That's how I nice. Go about it.
That seems like an alright life motto. Yeah.
There you go. Right. Fair play.
But yeah, my sister is a lesbian and is finally getting married.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, but that means I have to go back to the States in June.
For a big gay wedding. It's fine.
But we'll,
it's good
I mean,
to go to the
if
States.
We're still allowed, if they're still allowed.
Sure, they can come here?
Yeah, I'll bring them on over.
Yeah.
They have a lovely dog, so. The world needs more dogs.
As is their right.
Yeah, yeah.
So how did you find, I suppose, as an individual coming here, right. How would you find, like, would you find the gay scene welcoming here?
Yeah. I'm a part of...
I'm talking, I suppose, from the perspective then of old man coming up from the country, yeah, maybe a slightly different experience.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm a member of QSOC at Trinity, or Queer Society.
Okay.
And just a really loving and welcoming community.
I literally thought it was just going to be people who went to Q bar loads.
Like QSOC and UCD was Quinn Society.
It was the business society. UCD.
Nope.
Different
the
ballgame,
worst
yeah.
people. Yeah. Yeah.
The gays stole it. We're the best people.
I've heard nothing but nightmare stories about the LGBT SOC and Trinity, but I think they've rebranded. I think they might have dissolved.
I'd say that's probably where QSOC is coming from.
They've pulled a shell and like, we're Exxon now. Like, they've just shut it down and rebrand, say nothing.
Yeah.
Or whatever shell did.
All of that I've experienced with it has been really great. They have coffee hours like every weekday, and it's just like a nice place to sit with people that you're comfortable with.
Trinity has sweet society rooms. Like, that was,
they do.
Fuck them.
They do.
It's nice and comfy. But yeah, I was talking with some of the younger girls who were from the country, and it's like, this is the first place where I'm able to hold hands with my girlfriend and not feel scared. I'm like, it's amazing that you, yeah. No, it's good. I felt here overall the attitude towards gay people is nice. Mostly I associate with
it's nice.
It's nice. It's good.
It's nice.
It's a nice thing. I associate with mostly younger people. I did have an old man stop me on the street once. I was standing just near another woman, did not know her, but apparently my standing near her meant that we were probably in a sexual relationship. So he stopped us and said, "No lesbianism now." And so I said,
I mean, he's correct.
Yeah, he got you in one there.
Well, he did. I said, oh, no, not right now. Later, almost certainly.
Very good. That's a good response, man. That's a very good response.
He did not have a happy face on after that.
Well, I'm glad. I hope the lad got ridden like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, that'd be great.
I hope he got ruined.
We should put out some feelers, but.
Sure, he bet us to it.
Yeah. Maybe you
I'm
know.
Glad to hear. I'm glad to hear that it's a positive or welcoming environment for the new gay.
The things I'd heard about the.
You ever hear that wrestling tag team, the new
gay rock.
New gay rocks.
Yeah. Was like from 12 or so years ago. So, from this the Connor Courtney, former guest of the show.
Right. Yeah.
His stories of being.
I hope. I so hope. And Connor would agree with me if he's listening. I hope we didn't run into Connor Courtney. Connor Courtney would eat him alive.
Oh, the old dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Connor Courtney would ruin him. It's like a gay shark. Or gay.
Don't mention
gay Virgin Mary.
Gay Virgin Mary.
So a Virgin Mary.
If there's one thing you can say Connor isn't, it's a shark.
Maybe anyway. A Mary.
Yeah. The some nun over in Spain is getting a bunch of shit because she's like, yeah, Mary wasn't a virgin. And
yeah, fair play.
Everyone's like, no, but she's like, she was in a fucking marriage with a husband for a bunch of years.
Yeah. Yeah. She's demonstrably not a virgin because of all the births she had.
Yeah, but like even she's like, yeah, sure, you got immaculate conception. Grant, Jesus is out in the world.
Bollocks.
But no, but like she's like granting that, right?
Right.
But she's like, but then it's just husband and wife living together for their lives.
Yeah, she's right.
She was definitely like, J-Dog was laying
would
pipe.
Be backed up like you wouldn't believe.
Carpenter, those lads are... It's like a garage.
Listen.
He'd have the equivalent of a Pirelli calendar up in the shed.
They had to take down, because you know what, the office, so my office is adjacent to a tire yard or connected to a tire yard. And there was a part of the tire yard where it was covered in all real seedy.
Page threes
from like the late early 2000s.
Holly, 22, wishes that Big Brother would have a second season, like just shit like that.
And then like crosses, like you would get in a prison, someone counting off the days next to it, which you can only assume were danger wanks.
Yeah.
It's the only possible explanation. So there's new owners came in and they thankfully have stripped the walls of the...
I wouldn't be surprised if the insulation in that place. Like if they knocked the drywall, the insulation is just scrunched up.
Yeah, yeah.
Papers.
That's actually a load-bearing page three.
You thought it was potty fill. It's not.
At least it was load-bearing once the lads got through with it, anyway.
Go for it.
Hey, guys. It's Davey. I don't know having this planned, if you couldn't tell. So I just had an album come out on Bandcamp of my show Dysmorphin Time. You can get it if you'd like. DaveyRiley.bandcamp.com. It is a €5, but if you want to pay more, you can. If you pay over a tenner, I'll send you a signed poster
of the show. That's davyreilly.bandcamp.com. Thanks.
Ask you a question, Anna, and if you would like, we can cut this because we can go straight to the queue. When you say you're pansexual, does that, and I'm asked out of genuine curiosity, right? Would that suggest that rather than, like, if you were bisexual, it would be you are attracted to men and women? Would that also include then, or is that term used to denote someone who would also be attracted to, say, transgender people and stuff like that?
I think it's
like, is it that sort of broadening?
Yeah.
That was my understanding of it, that it's a step away from the binary of bi.
That's how I understood it for a while, but then there was kind of a backlash from the bisexual community, the implication that they were being transphobic. And I think that
everyone's a bit sensitive, really, isn't it? Come on.
Yeah, I mean...
It's granddads.
Yeah. I think that it's just a matter of how you prefer to identify.
Right.
I
could also understand why someone would want to identify as pansexual as opposed to bisexual, because I feel like bisexual gets a rough job of it.
Yeah.
Like, of all of the broad spectrums of types of gay, like, bisexual is probably, just as an identifier.
The dismissed one, right?
Yeah, it's probably the most dismissed one, right?
Yeah. I think, just thinking about, like, the conservative part of my family, like, if they knew what pansexual was, they'd be... probably more mad about it than they would be. Because then it's like, people who aren't boys or girls, what?
Like horses?
Are you sleeping with the horses?
Well, if it's a hot horse.
Ooh. Yeah.
Well, I can guess.
As we've ascertained.
if you can handle the way a horse is hung, fair play to you.
We've all seen the videos.
I actually have only heard the video.
Really?
I've never seen it. Mr. Hans? Is it Mr. Hans?
Yeah. The pure passing a phone around the back of class.
Yeah.
Look at this video. And you're like,
the lad died.
Yeah, that and like Saddam Hussein's execution video just passed around the back of our class.
Never seen it.
I watched that loads.
That was just to get in the mood for a panto.
Yeah.
Huh. Arabia. Let's.
I watched that loads.
The stakes were high.
You watched the beheading of Saddam Hussein multiple times.
It was a hanging.
The hanging. Yeah.
Surely one of those things. It was one and done.
Like, the quality was useless.
The quality was terrible.
It was awful.
It was really dog shit. It was almost like it was 2005 or something. It was. Yeah.
Could have been any hanging. He was hooded.
God.
Yeah.
Jamie Palmer, though.
JP Vatican II.
What would you do first
if your son was at home?
A million. Crying all
alone on the bedroom floor because he's hungry. And the only way to feed him is to sleep with a man for a little bit of money because his daddy's gone.
And if that man paid you €1 million, what is the first thing you would do with that €1 million?
Smoking rock now, in and out of lockdown.
Boom.
I ain't got a job now.
I don't know if you can beat that.
It's just a good time for me. This is what I call life.
Yeah, what was that? Was that just a...
City High.
Yeah, but that noise. That's what
I call life. I don't know, because I've only ever really heard that song sung by Donna and Kira. So... John, I don't think I've ever actually heard the original recording of that song.
Donna, sorry. Oh, yeah. Donna is John's girlfriend.
She's a person in her own right.
Yeah. Donna is my housemate.
Yeah. She's a multiple time guest of the show. Yeah. So the listeners
know her.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was quite rude.
No, not at all. I was just. She sounds good.
You met Donna
and Killian live with us.
When you say Donna, I think
he said Doyle earlier on, referring to the person he would get to do all his clothes. Donna Doyle.
Yeah.
Okay. Doyler. See, when you say Donna, I think Donna and Joe from Eurostar fame.
Oh God.
Do you remember?
Don and Joe.
Clearly not that famous, but do you remember the twins?
Yeah. My friend invited one of them to her Eurovision party, and she came.
Oh my God.
And she was, they represented Ireland?
It was 2 years after they represented Ireland. She just showed up my mates Gaff and Luke and to watch the Eurovision.
Oh no. Oh gosh. Surely you could get a gig that night. Do you know what I mean?
There's got to be a bar needs a host. Like, I've been asked to host Eurovision nights.
Yeah.
And I have no credibility.
Like any of the gay bars in town would lap you up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Zero, dear.
Because she came out then after the Eurovision.
I was just going purely by virtue of you were in Eurovision.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you'd imagine the phone wouldn't stop ringing coming up to Eurovision. I mean, it's quiet the rest of the year, but that's her.
She wanted a low-key night with some mates.
She needs to get as much rent money as she can. Not her mates, just someone else's mates.
Right.
Yeah. I think they just asked her on Twitter. It was a real, amazing. Like, you doing nothing?
Oh, my heart.
I hope it wasn't a case of like, oh, a roof for the night. Like, oh,
yeah. I'm getting to that point.
Anyone need Aladdin?
Yeah.
Aladdin.
Yeah. I'll be sleeping in the magic lamp come next week.
Oh, keep the costume, we could get some work.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God.
Banging for a roof.
Oh, Aladdin-themed prostitute.
There was a stable of female comedians that we were very close to for a while.
Yeah.
Well,
I know exactly where this is going, yeah.
Oh, man, but I remember they went off to Edinburgh for a weekend, and they were like, I was living with one of them at the time, and they were just, I was like, where are you staying? It's like, having a clue yet. I'll bang for a roof.
Oh, God.
Yeah, scored a snore.
Wow.
I was shocked and appalled.
Yeah, and just the casuality at which it was just like, yeah, like I'm
gonna ride for a roof.
Just gonna, yeah.
Is that an option? Sounds all right.
For a weekend.
No.
That is
but not
the,
life.
If that is a choice that you can make, I think that's probably demonstrably a female advantage.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more.
I would
more.
Say you probably have more of a cast iron guarantee that someone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's not to say that. That doesn't make up for systematic, systematic misogyny or anything.
Mm.
But if you wanted to, you have the option of banging for a roof.
Playing the game.
Yeah.
That's a card that most lads don't have.
It's a difficult thing. I couldn't. No way. No way could you get like. How long were they in Edinburgh for? Two, 3 nights.
Yeah. I think
yeah.
So.
No way could. I don't think any lad could do that.
Well, I certainly couldn't.
Couldn't do that.
I don't know. You've got a face like a bowl of cream.
It would depend what their drinking water was like.
This is it.
That'd be like the little stipulation.
I need 8 hours and 8 litres. Get it going.
So do what you like to me. You can do whatever.
Yeah.
Call your mates. Oh, Jesus.
I think we should leave it there. I'm sorry, we didn't even answer that question. But
what's the question again?
What would you do with €1 million? What's the first thing you'd do?
€1 million.
Buy a house so you don't have to do that.
Boom. Yeah, just gaff.
Do you know what? I probably would. Because wouldn't it be lovely to have a gaff that you could do stuff to?
Yeah.
Like when you're
yeah.
renting, it's just sort of like, this is the house you live in.
Yeah.
Can't improve it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you're just pissing money away. So yeah, gaff. And then...
Dogs.
You're a big dog lady, Anna.
Oh, yeah.
Gaff and an Oculus Rift.
Oh, yeah.
Gaff and a Rift.
Yeah, just pretend to be a dog.
What kind, do you have any dogs?
I have 2 dogs. They're golden retrievers. Their names are... Gus and Ruby.
Are we back in the sconce now?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Couldn't keep dogs in my tiny apartment. But yeah, Gus is a little idiot. I wanted to name him... See, I think that I'm really good at naming animals, so I wanted to name him Beef.
Right.
Beef for short, grass-fed beef for long. Because that's his personality, inherently.
Okay.
He's a little idiot, but he's also super big and strong. He'll just knock you around. He's all wiggles. Oh, he's a fucking idiot. Love him.
I had a great golden Labrador who had Down syndrome and gigantism. And he was just the best crack.
Oh.
Best crack dog you've ever seen in your
happy
entire life.
Dog.
Wow.
Oh, he was great crack.
Imagine just having that ignorance.
He once ate a metal bowl in its entirety. Like it was just gone.
Like, what put him in the ground in the end?
Huh? He got hit by 3 cars.
I was thinking it was a multiple of cars. Yeah. In my head, it was like it was a number of cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
3 cars.
Couldn't just be
3.
No, it was 3 in a week. And then he came home and was grand for a couple of days and then died of a heart attack.
Oh my God.
Just pulled
it
the bar mirror.
It only occurred to him what happened 3 days later.
Yeah.
The pain receptors only
he's
made
on
their
a delay.
Giant brain.
Yeah. I was great crack. We'd wrestle with them. He was like a proper, like he was huge. Like,
yeah.
It's like having Clifford the Big Red Dog if instead of red, it was Down syndrome.
Where do you even find a dog?
We got him as a puppy. Like, we didn't think there was anything wrong.
Yeah, okay.
And then, you know, I was great crack. He was absolutely great crack. Anyway, listen, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much.
What was his name?
Sam.
Sam. In memory of Sam.
Do you know what? I tell you what. We were walking down Hampstead Heath in London, me and Donna, not so long ago. And I forgot about this entirely. Donna reminded me. And there was a golden Labrador, huge golden Labrador walking by. And I was like, Jesus, that is the split of my old Labrador, Sam. Like, and Donna went, oh, that's nice. That's nice that you saw a dog that looked like your old dog. And then we heard the guy as he was walking past go, come on, Sam, come on. And I was like, oh, he's named Sam as well. I bet he has Down syndrome.
Not the dog, not the owner.
This is nothing. I love that dog. I'm not taking down dogs with Down syndrome.
Leave this now as a in memory of.
In memory of Sam, could you put in like the Oscars music for In Memoriam?
Yeah, of course.
Right, and then just Sam. A black and white photograph.
Yeah,
in this audio medium.
Just have some violins playing and just go. There you go. That was the noise Sam made. All right, thank you so much for listening, everybody. I hope you've all had a lovely, lovely time. I have had a blast chatting to you and having the chats with our wonderful guests. It's been a joy. Thank you so much for making a guest appearance there, Anna.
Thank you for having me.
Anna Rongstad, everybody. Yeah, did I get it there? You got it? Fucking crushing it, lads.
Boom.
Only took me 8 goes. Anna, is there a place people could find you?
Yeah, on Twitter, Anna Rungsted, O-N-A-H-W-R-O-N-G-S-T-A-D.
W-R?
I put it in for the crack.
That's incorrect. For the very
good use of the yes.
You are picking up the nomenclature. Thank you so much to a first-time guest, but I hope this won't be your last time on the show, Tom Moran.
Great fun. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
It was great. You were really funny. You had some great... Thank you so much for being on, man.
Personality
I really
Bingo,
enjoyed it.
Tom Moran kicks off Sunday
The Sunday.
This is coming out Friday, so...
Yeah, that's Sunday. And Davey's going to be on it.
Yeah, so why not check that out? If you like a little bit of Davey in your life, why not get an extra slice? An extra help in O'Reilly.
Sounds great.
Gross. Mm.
Thanks for that.
Thank you very, very much to the engineer of Sentinel Audio, Dilbert, Mr. Rob O'Sullivan.
Goodbye, everybody.
And thank you very, very much to the comedian and co-host of this very show, Fallen Off a Rainbow Bridge, Mr. David Riley.
Goodbye, folks.
My name's been John Hosey-Byrne. Thank you very, very much for listening. Good night. Thank you very much for listening to the Stoneface Films podcast, produced by Sentinel Audio Productions, the finest productions in audio, named after a type of Jedi. Am I right, Rob? There you go, he's not mic'd, but you love him anyway. Huge double thank you has to go out, of course, to our patrons on Patreon, with whom we could not continue to get this podcast out to you directly to your ear holes for free. So we really, really appreciate their continued support. Starting with the ensigns on the USS Best Friends, boldly going to where podcasts have never been before, Sam Sweeney Saya, Charles C. Kirkman, Jess Angell, and Jamie Pomerleau. Pomerleau, pleasure to have you on board, Jamie. Thank you very much. I like your hair. It seems very blue. Thank you as well to our Knights of the Sainsbury's Car Park, Alice and Sir Lard Flames, the spud loser himself. We hugely appreciate your support. Thank you especially, of course, to the small council of King Robert the Hand. There he is, Rob. How's the hands doing? They're doing well. Luke Bruton, Shelley Umla and Dawn Smith, thank you so much for your continued support. Dawn, in particular, thank you for those hats. They are very cozy. And who could forget the stars of the constellation Aldrin's Mickey, Lizzie and John Oldman Byrne, and the couple of people who would like to remain anonymous. Thank you so much for your time and support and consideration. We hugely, hugely appreciate it. And please do keep supporting the Stoneface Films podcast. We love you all dearly. Thanks very much.
You've been listening to the Stoneface Films podcast, hosted by John Hosier-Byrne, David Riley, and Rob O'Sullivan. The show is produced by Rob O'Sullivan of Sentinel Audio Productions. You can find out more about the show, our companies, and upcoming podcasts at stonefacefilms.com and at sentinelaudio.com. Our opening theme is by Lazyitis, and all other music is by the Cooper Church Amendment. You can get involved in future shows by sending questions and messages to the Stoneface Films Twitter, at Stoneface Films. If you could take the time to rate and review the show on iTunes and Stitcher, we'd really appreciate it. We thank you all for your continued support of this podcast, and we'll talk to you next time. This show is part of the Sentinel Audio Podcast Network.